don't know about y'all, but that was a lot for me. Like, Henrietta, no. We talking all things 911 when we get back.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
No, he didn't play these lights, though.
We need to be uplifted right now.
The roof was on fire. The car was on fire. The whole show is just on fire. It's a lot going on.
There was so much going on. Child of stress.
But, hey, guys. How y'all doing? Welcome, welcome, welcome to season 2 of 911. I was not here last season, so y'all might not know me that well, but I'm your host, Portia Carter, and I have my lovely, wonderful, beautiful panelists to my left.
Yes, guys, I am Elle Marie, and I wasn't on this panel last season either, but if you watch Grey's Anatomy, because they're kind of similar, you might have seen me on there.
Yes, and so today we are talking, because they did a two-night premiere, we are talking both episode 1 and 2. Episode 1, Under Pressure, episode 2, 7.1. Woo, Elle Marie, your top thoughts of the overall show.
Oh my gosh,
do you want to break it up?
I was just going to go into the second one, like the second one was just...
I can't get over that.
It was so intense. Like, I have real anxiety right now.
Not real. Like,
my chest is so tight.
Okay, so as you can see, we both are here going through it. Mm-hmm. Not even kidding. Like, we were watching this together, and I swear, on the commercials, we had to let out sighs. Like, okay, now we can breathe. Because the whole time, we're holding our breath. Yes. We're clenching our hands. Yes. Like, this was a lot, and that's why I love this show so much. I'm really not even one of those people who like thrilling things.
Oh,
who,
no.
Like, yeah, I don't watch horror movies or anything like that. I don't like being scared, but I have a really big heart for people, and it hurts to watch this show, but I just can't get away from it.
Because it's so good. It's like the stories that they tell are really good. Like, I'm also a fan of like Chicago Fire, and I'm always like, oh, okay, they push the envelope with the things that they have on there, the emergencies and everything. But 911 takes it to another level.
And what I like about this show is that it's not just about cops, or it's not just about firefighters. Like, you have a whole team of first responders. Mm-hmm. Like, dispatch is super important. Mm-hmm. I would have never guessed. And then we have the firefighters who go in. They're amazing. And then we got cops like Athena. Just out here being bad. Come on, Angela. Just out here booming. All right, so we are about to get in. First, let's do this. Episode 1, Under Pressure. We saw a lot of pressure in various realms of this episode. Buck's sister moves in town. How do you feel about that?
For the previews, I thought she was going to be like a new love interest. I was like, oh, okay, Jennifer Love Hewitt is on here. Cool. But she's his sister. So that's...
Because,
Buck
is good with the lady.
He is good with the lady. So
that was a lot of pressure for her, because she moved out of fear from running away from something. So we got pressure there. And then we have this whole thing with Athena and Bobby, and Bobby wanting to be public. And he really put pressure on her relationship. Can you tell me how you feel about what she said, though?
I kind of agree with what she said. But then I think Michael got her together later. I'm going to touch on that a little bit. But because she was just coming from a place of fear.
Fear and hurt.
A place of hurt, pain, uncertainty, and embarrassment. Like she said, like, she was the first one in her family to get a divorce, you know? Yeah. And then, like, it's not too much longer later that you're parading this new man around. And the thing is, you know, with these men and women, it's always a double standard on everything, you know?
Yeah.
So it's always like the man could probably get a new wife, husband, whatever, because we know that Michael is dating a man, and it's fine.
Yeah.
But then when the woman starts to date, it's like, oh, you're dating already? Like, you just got divorced, like, 2 seconds ago. Let her live.
Right.
But women have to carry that name. We have to take our time being in a relationship and exposing that to everybody. So I kind of understood where she was coming from. But then, like I said, later on, Michael got her together, like, you are moving out of fear. Like, but he could help her because he was kind of in that same place.
The fact that she went to Michael, of all people, like, you go to the ex-husband to try to get you right. And he the reason you in the mess.
Right.
Like, He the reason
this
you in it.
This is your fault, sir.
I feel like she just had all odds stacked up against her. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, she got a divorce. Secondly, and one of the biggest things, her husband is mm-hmm. now gay, mm-hmm. or ex-husband is now gay. And then not only is she dealing with the shame and the guilt of all of that, she has a man of a different race.
Mm-hmm.
And so she mentioned all realms of it, but I feel like her biggest one, even though it was shame, most of it was fear. Like, I got a lot of things going up against me. Mm-hmm. If I show the world you, then what are they going to say about, you know, this black and white thing? If I show the world you, what are they going to say about, oh, I go and get a white man because I think black men are gay? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, just all types of different things that could have been running in her head. Yeah. And what I do like about what Michael said is you really have to, you know, take leaps of faith
mm-hmm.
and go after what you want, regardless of all means. And yeah. if you really care about this dude, which she does, if you really care about him, you're going to own up to your fears. And mm-hmm. I feel like she did a great, great job of that.
Yeah. Because, like, one thing, what Michael said that stood out to me was he was like, stop trying to control it. Well, this is what he had to do, was stop mm-hmm. trying to control it, step out on faith and let it happen. And that's kind of where she is, because she wants to just make sure everything is right mm-hmm. now. She's going to control everything, but you just step back and let it be.
Yeah. I love relationships on this show because there's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on. Like, people are dying in front of them. They happen to say people. They're dealing with all type of chaotic situations. But at the end of the day, they have their person that they can come home to.
Mm-hmm.
Like how Buck thought he was about to come home to Connie in a shower, and it was his sister.
It was his sister.
How do you feel about him living in her house after she's gone?
Because, okay, so I was like, okay, I know that Connie Britton isn't on this season, but then he walked into her house and I got very confused. I was like, wait, what? She's not there. So I also need an explanation on how he was able to take over her house, like how he's in her apartment.
Well, like, he was telling his sister, he said that, you know, she went out of town mm-hmm. and she's been gone for a couple of months. She left me the house and said I could do whatever.
I missed that whole part. Don't know what I was doing.
It was right after she got out the shower. And she was like, oh, you have a nice place. Mm-hmm. You're growing up. Basically, like, oh, some little yeah. brother, what you doing mm-hmm. with a big house like this?
Right.
He, like, that's when he explained that. And so mm-hmm. he was basically like, yeah, she left it to me. She said I could do whatever. But my thing is, why did you expect her to be there? Because yeah. he was so lit. Like, oh, my gosh,
yeah, like, she's
here.
There.
And then, like, there's nothing. Do you think he's in denial?
He's clearly in denial. He's in denial. But I mean, for me, I feel like her leaving the apartment would contribute to me being in denial.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, well, she left it to me. She's going to come back for it, or, you know, come back for me. But not at all. She's
there
out
is
of there.
No more Abby.
There's no more Abby.
Like, she's not coming back.
Yeah. I feel sorry for Buck right now. Like, there's no more Abby. He's not, like, the only, like, hot guy around mm-hmm. town at the station. So he's gonna have it a little rough starting off on this season.
Yeah, he is having a hard time, and that's why he was just so hardcore with Eddie popping up, because yeah. he's like, I got all this going on. Then here come this old fine man when he was supposed to be the finest on the job. Like, how do you feel about him and Eddie's relationship and them trying to, I guess, I feel like he was trying to, like, induct him into a fraternity or something.
He was. But Eddie was
like,
on his
stuff. He was hazing.
But Eddie wasn't going for the haze. He was like, so what's your problem?
Right.
What's the situation here? You know what I mean? Just coming at him right away. Which, I understand both of them. I understand Buck a little bit. It's like, but yeah, you can't just come out over here like you've been here for forever. Because he had a little bit of that.
Man.
Yeah, he had a little bit of hazing.
They,
so, like, you need
they
to
got
get
him
too.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
They got him good. They was calling him Billy, all types of stuff.
So I feel him. But then when it seems like it's only one person that's trying to put you through that hazing, then it seems like they have a problem with you. And then that's when Eddie was like, so what is the problem?
Right.
So that's why I said, I kind of see where both of them were coming from with this. But
right. I just like how they bonded, especially over, you know, with Buck already being a first responder, and then Eddie having the background in the Army, mm-hmm. them coming together on their last mission to mm-hmm. save that grenade from out of this guy's body. It's like that bond of what they created. Like, I'm bringing my expertise, you bring your expertise, mm-hmm. and let's see how we can work together. Yeah. I believe that made them close, because as we even see going into episode 2, they are like two peas in a pod, mm-hmm. riding on every mission together, like down for the fight, down for the cause. So before we go into episode 2, I do want to just make this correlation. We get ready to close out episode 2 with Buck's sister going into the same job as his quote unquote girlfriend that he don't know is his ex right now. What is this about? Do you think he gave her that advice like, oh, go be a dispatch? Yeah. This is what she did. Do you think he gave her that?
Yeah. It was like, oh. Because like how he, the line was like, oh, so you want to help people, but you don't want to deal with them all the time. Oh, right. I've got something for you. Like, it's like perfect. Like that was basically, that was Abby. Like she wanted to help, but didn't really like to be around people. So I definitely think he gave her that advice.
Yeah, I think he definitely set that up like, okay, you living in her house, you might as well work her job at this point. And then like dispatch, they on call. They're working all the time. That's the only way to keep her mind off of this abusive relationship she has going on. She's actually running from the man. And I believe that was like, that whole conversation phone call was a foreshadowing of something else they're going to have to deal with later in the season. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like really open to see how that's going to play out and what Buck is going to do when homeboy pop up and act crazy on him. How that's going to play out. And then, oh, I forgot to mention how we went in April. April's calendar of the month.
Yes.
And the beautiful thing about Howie winning is Hen set him up with him being his true, authentic self. Do you think he was trying too hard at the beginning?
I think so, a little bit. But then, because it's like kind of stay in your lane. And I think that's what Hen was trying to show him. Like, stay true to who you are and then and you will be accepted. But he was trying to be like the macho man, the hot, you know what I mean?
Trying to compete with all these young guys.
Yeah,
Eddie,
with Buck and Eddie. Yeah. But it's like, do you, you know, you're hot in your way and be who you are and it, show and prove. And he was able to be Mr. April.
So if your man told you that he was ready to go public, would you show up at his job and do it? Because Athena pulled a good one on him. Popped up at the job like,
she pulled a good one.
I'm sorry. And they kissed it in front of everybody.
For me, no. Mm. But with them, because they're all kind of like a family. Yeah, and they work together. Then I could, I could see that. For me, no.
Yes, that was beautiful. And I was really grateful that at the end, after she left him to go do whatever she had to do, she did not fall through off that cliff. Okay, so we're about to get into episode 2. The dangers and the traumas of earthquakes.
Holy.
And it's just like, so what I hate the most about this episode is that this is so possible. It is so possible for LA to be the place to have a crazy earthquake like that.
It makes me know. I think that's probably why it was so intense for me. And because we live here, like if I were back home in Chicago and I was watching this episode, it may not have been that intense for me. But the fact that like, oh, this could happen. I know where you guys are. I think they might have been like, that might have been like the W Hotel on Hollywood, like just, or if not, whatever. They were on Hollywood Boulevard. I know where you guys are. Like, this can be real. And it makes it so much more intense to watch.
Yeah, that's even more steep, too. Mm-hmm. And to the fact that, to know that these buildings aren't secure. Mm-mm. Like, when we seen the buildings crash from 9/11, like, these buildings, some, like, these people got to get it together. I see construction going on all the time. People are building apartments. They're building grocery stores, warehouses. Like, there's a whole Whole Foods being built on top of apartments in my area where I live. Like, crazy. And they doing all this stuff, but is your foundation together? That's the question we got to ask.
That is the question.
Because if your foundation ain't together, then we get episodes like this.
And is it reinforced?
I got a real quick sidebar. I didn't know you were from Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
I'm from Detroit. We cousins.
Oh, look at that.
Okay, sidebar over. I had to go ahead and throw that in there. But yeah, we cousins, y'all. So let's talk about how it starts off, because I have to make this correlation. So it starts off with them being at the firehouse. And Hen and Howie and Bobby are going around the table talking about their quote-unquote dreams and what they wish they were or what they would have been. And so Hen is just basically like, well, you know, I would have been a comic book writer to sum it up, to say that mm-hmm. the least. And they like, you can draw? And she's like, well, of course I can't draw. It's a dream, fool. Dreams aren't to be obtained. For her to say that and then go into what just happened with this guy, Jeff. And this whole basketball dream. Did you, like, at that moment mm-hmm. when he was, you know, one of the products of or the victims of the earthquake, when he was under that rock, did you not want
to
cry?
I wanted to cry. I was literally... will be honest with you. Two things went through my head, though. I partially wanted to cry. And then also just was like, see, this is why we got to teach our black boys to be more than basketball players. It's not funny, but like I was, you know, because then things happen like that. And then your life falls apart completely because that was all you kind of were going for. Yeah. But to bring it back up, yeah, I was going to cry because I felt so bad for him.
To piggyback off that, though, I feel like lots of people place themselves in boxes, especially big dreamers. Mm-hmm. If you have a dream and you have a goal and you have faith that you're going to obtain it one day, how can you not work on that 24/7? Yeah. How can that not be your main focus?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
That's true, too.
So I kind of see where he was coming from, but then it goes back to him at the beginning, starting the whole episode off talking about dreams are not meant to be obtained because they're, quote unquote, just dreams, you know? Mm-hmm. And so at that moment, I was feeling like, oh my gosh, this is the foreshadowing of what she said. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. even though he has this big dream and, you know, he wants to be one of the best basketball players in the world, he got different teams and colleges fighting for him, like mm-hmm. they want this boy, and he's sitting up under a whole stone yeah. with a whole building laying on his leg. Yeah,
leg, like, shattered. Dream shattered.
Yeah, it's just like, are dreams really not to be obtained at this point? And I feel like in his situation, because he's a dreamer, I feel mm-hmm. like it depends on how hard you're willing to fight.
That's true.
Because he's a dreamer, so he had all the fight in him to say, mm-hmm. y'all not about to amputate my leg.
Yeah.
Pull this thing up off of me. And if all else falls, it was my choice to go after mm-hmm. my dream. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm just like, okay, let's fight this whole dreams can't be mm-hmm. obtained thing. That's why I asked you that. I yeah. had to
yeah. put I'm, that I'm in over perspective. Here like trying it to hold lot. It together. Because the last I was week so of my life, okay, I've been trying to hold. Oh, so yeah, like, no, yeah. but seriously, you just saying all of that right now and singing that in the show, like, yes, it comes to that sometimes about the dream. Like, how hard are you willing to fight for it? A lot of times people talk about sacrifice.
That's a sacrifice.
Ooh, but the fight
yeah,
is where it's at. That's the most important part. So how much are you willing to fight? And he was really hard.
Yes. He fought with both, though. It was a fight and it was a sacrifice for him because mm-hmm. at any given moment, this building can collapse and you could be out of here.
Yeah, completely.
And like they said, we good to go.
Yeah.
But we don't know if we going to save you.
Yeah.
You know? So he definitely had both to play on. Like, I'm mm-hmm. going to fight for my dream and not let them amputate my leg. But then I'm going to take a sacrificial risk.
Yeah.
And my life is on the line at mm-hmm. this point. So, all right. Back to the beginning. Let's get here. Let's talk about the art of listening, because we see Buck's sister in dispatch training. Mm-hmm. She's in dispatch training, and this whole thing with the whole, okay, you shadow me. He did 3 calls, and then he was like, your turn. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I was like, oh, already? This is not shadowing. This is not, do you know the definition of shadowing, sir? But sometimes it's like that. Like, okay, I'll show you, because a job like that is going to be more of the experience, more hands-on. Yeah. Like, so you have to kind of get your feet wet with it. So my first reaction was like, yo, what are you doing? But then... because he was able to see how she operated.
Yeah.
You know, and luckily, well, no, that was a pretty intense call that she had, but he was able to kind of jump in, mm-hmm. you know, kind of because he was listening. He heard the car and jumped in and was able to save him, I guess. So, yeah, but just to, like I said, you need to get your feet wet and get that experience in there. And he was able to see, like, okay, this checklist, what you're used to, mm-hmm. that's not going to work here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us who run by all of these, like, plans and these check marks and these to-do lists, like, we don't know what to do when that's thrown off, mm-hmm. you know? So, and I think, like, Oprah says this a lot. In order to actually know what's next for your life, you have to sit and be still and listen to your inner being to know what next move you have to make. Mm-hmm. And I think the whole art of listening is knowing that if you listen close enough, your next move is right there, mm-hmm. like at hand's reach. And granted, I like the way she was moving, following her rules and following her notes, because I'm one of those people. Mm. Like, well, I'm half and half. I'm half and half. You know, sometimes I just go with the flow and listen to my instincts. Mm-hmm. Amen. But then a lot of the times I'm like, okay, if somebody taught me how to do something, mm-hmm. I'm going to run it by what they taught me, so that, because I know that that brings forth great outcomes, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah. So then we have Athena finding Marvin.
Listen.
The runaway car stealer, car mm-hmm. thief. And this whole situation turns into chaos. Because at first, you think you picking up a boy who's been stealing cars, mm-hmm. and you about to take him to jail. And then the next thing you know, a freeway is falling right in front of you guys. And you two are at the forefront of the line. What are your thoughts on that moment?
Scariness. So
my heart just dropped talking about it.
The first episode ended there, and it was like, oh my gosh.
I didn't see homeboy in the car.
I didn't see him. So now we pick up like, oh, you're on the job and trying to take him to jail and everything. And then mm-hmm. the tire blows out, possibly because of the earthquake. It already has started shaking and everything. And mm-hmm. like we were saying earlier, we were talking off air, like had that not happened, the tire blowing out and her losing control, she would have been over the overpass.
Man, when I seen the first episode, the first ending of the episode, because I didn't see homeboy and all of that, but mm-hmm. me watching it the second time, I knew she was going to make it because of me seeing the last one. But when I seen that and I saw those Altoids fly up, I was, and all that swerving, mm-hmm. I thought maybe she was distracted. Mm. So I just started saying, thank you, Jesus. I'm like, thank you, Jesus, for her being distracted. Thank you. Because if she wasn't and she didn't do all that swerving, then maybe she wouldn't have made it. But I was so excited. And then now to know that we have a 7.1 earthquake that just made a freeway fall through the ground.
It's so scary to think about.
Yeah.
Because it can happen. Ooh, but she kept her cool.
Yeah.
In a situation like that.
She is so calm. She's amazing. The whole time with this situation happened, you know, they get to the part where everybody is on the ground. They see these cars flipped over, and then she has this guy she's trying to save. When she see one of the first responders, the first thing she tells him is, save yourself, because you want to be one of the heroes that mm-hmm. live to tell about you saving this story.
Yeah.
Like, she's giving him so much advice and wisdom in this scary moment. Mm-hmm. Like, how can you even think to like, try to preach
all
to
hands
somebody
on deck,
right now?
Let's go. Like, I don't, if you make it, you make it. I don't know. Let's figure it out. But yeah, for her to keep her calm and keep her smarts about her while she's trying to save everyone, and that's amazing. Because to be honest, well, I mean, police officers aren't really in a lot of those type of scenarios, because mm-hmm. I was going to say they're not in intense scenarios, but that's not true. But it's just in another way. Mm-hmm. But like they don't really have to deal with like the emergency that way, because something like that would be a first responder, you know, such a job to be there helping those people. So yeah, for her to be in that's not really what she does, and she's still able to be calm. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little out of your, you know, jurisdiction, I could say, but you still keep your calm about it. And that was cool. And then like her saving the guy and trying to keep him calm as well. Like, this man is about to be on fire, and she's still kind of able to try to help him and keep him calm. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, figure out a solution to help them stop this car from exploding completely.
Yeah. I think Athena does a really great job at knowing how to put out big fires, mm-hmm. even if she gotta, you know, throw some stones.
Because
she be hitting below the belt. Mm-hmm. She be setting some people off. But I feel like with, you know, we see her finding out that her husband is gay, then the divorce, and then the children, then what happened to her daughter trying to commit suicide. Mm-hmm. All of this that happened in the first season, throughout everything, she was calm. She was going to the solution. Mm-hmm. She was making sure. So to see her in this realm of, this is not what you're used to, but you have to act in that matter, to see her still keep her calm, it's just like she's so strong. Mm-hmm. And I am very amazed at her strength. And then her strategic thought pattern that happens at everything. Because as soon as she seen that car go up in flames, she already had, what was it, a crowbar? Mm-hmm. About to break him out of the car. And then she threw that crowbar like, I don't need you. Get the fire extinguisher. And then when she couldn't put out the fire, she like, ain't nothing going to stop it but some cement.
Yeah.
And then her thinking like, oh, I got a little convict who know how to steal cars and start them up and stuff. In the back of my car. So he about to go do this. And I just want to know your thoughts on the whole thing of, after he saved the guy, how he was like, I need to get away. I mean, I need to go home now because I did a good thing. How do you feel? Because a lot of people make these decisions in life where they do something bad. Then after that, they do something good. And then feel like everything is wiped away. Mm. Like, you don't have to learn, you know, have to have consequences for your actions. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that whole speech that she gave him?
The speech was good because it was like, you still kind of need to be reprimanded for this, because if you don't, you probably will, you won't feel it. You won't be in the moment, because this good feeling that you have will overshadow that bad one. And you may still revert and go back to the things that you were doing before because you weren't punished for it and you didn't really feel the effects of it. But like she said, like, remember this bad feeling. Yeah. Remember the good. And then, but remember the bad feeling. Remember how you felt before all of this happened.
Yeah. Cause you was like, feeling real bad knowing you was about to go to jail.
Real bad.
But the next time you're going to do something bad, remember how good it feels to do something good. Mm-hmm. So I just, she's amazing. Yeah. That whole scene, her whole situation, it was just like, use wisdom.
Yes.
Be calm.
And I love the name of her character. I love that they named her Athena.
What is Athena?
Because she's a Greek god. I'm not sure of her power. We would have to look that up. Mm-hmm. But Athena, I do believe, is a Greek goddess. So I never really paid attention to that fact in the first season, but just how she was moving in the second episode was like, yes, you are a goddess. Mm-hmm. You definitely are. Mm-hmm. A badass one, too.
Who called her? Did Michael call her about the kids during that situation? Because I'm like, did she ever find out that her kids is okay?
Yeah, but the call was breaking up. Yeah.
Okay, cool. At least she know.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So after we see Athena going through all of that, we get in the car where LAFD, the whole fire department, is on their way to save the day. And then Eddie just drop it on them like, yo, I'm worried about my kid. What was your thoughts in that moment?
That was one of the opening scenes with him and his son.
Yeah,
and
dropping him off at
school. Yeah, at school. And knowing that he is a little disabled. I don't know if maybe he had...
He looked like a little autistic, maybe.
Yeah, that too. And then the fact that he has the crutches that he needs to walk on. So that could, you're already going to be concerned. Like, I'm not a parent, but if you're a parent, you're going to be concerned about your child.
Right.
Then on top of that, you know your child is disabled. Like, if he needs to run, he can't run as fast as the other kids. And he would need help and things like that. So for that to also be in the back of your mind, and then you can't go and see if he's okay because you have to save other people.
Yeah.
God bless Eddie.
It was like, I was really feeling for him because I'm just like, is he okay? Is he okay? And it's like, it's not enough hope to know that Athena's kids are okay. Yeah. It's not enough hope for that because this little boy sitting at the park, Harry, her son, like, hey, look, the school just failed out. So we good for the next month.
I'm glad Michael got him together.
Like, yeah.
No.
That's not okay.
That's not okay. Do you know what's going on right now?
So to see their school fall down, it's just like, oh my gosh, does he go to the same school as Eddie's kid? Or did their school fall down too? Like, how is this going to play out? But with him and Buck having that make relationship that they're building and the bonds that they're creating, you know, Buck kind of assured him like, hey, your kid gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't, you know... But Buck and Bobby, they have this thing where they like to assure people that stuff is going to be okay.
But I think he'd be okay. Like he said, after certain earthquakes. They, you know, redid the structure of schools and things like that. Mm-hmm. So that should be the safest place. But then, like Eddie said, you said that about the high rises.
Yeah.
And look at us. But
Hollywood is a little hilly.
Like, true.
And you like they said, everywhere in Hollywood, especially Sunset Boulevard. Like mm-hmm. at any given moment, the whole Sunset Boulevard can collapse. I'm not hypothetically speaking, but you know.
You're stressing me out.
I'm sorry.
And then the first thing that came to mind is like on Sunset Boulevard. There's a street, I think it might be La Cienega. I'm not sure the exact cross street, but it's such a...
I know exactly where you're talking about.
Down
so steep. And when you driving up, you got to put the pedal to the metal. Yeah. Or else you ain't going to make it.
So, like, if something, like, if it did kind of collapse or break off and you're, like, right there at that part and then you just roll down, like, that's my... Okay. I'm off that.
Yeah. that was a lot. So, we're going to go ahead and fast forward into... Back into them, you know, tag teaming after he gives them their reassurance. They go in there to save the guy who was trying to get with the coworker in the beginning. And so I'm glad. I knew he was going to die. I'm glad he died.
I thought for the sake of TV, like the TV. It's like, oh, they're going to save him. Oh, they saved the day. That glass gave way. And so did he.
Yeah, it was real. I just couldn't believe it. Like, I knew that she had to be one to be saved, but mm-hmm. I didn't think the glass was going to start breaking. I'm thinking, like, they're going to try to save him, and then something going... I thought, like, the pressure of all that furniture that was on him mm-hmm. was going to be the reason he died. Mm. Not the whole glass like falling crushed. Through, and then everybody at the bottom watched this man fall and splatter the ground.
When it first happened, when he first got pinned against the glass, I thought it then, but since it didn't happen, then I was like, oh, okay, well, they're going to go another route.
Mm-hmm.
But no. And yeah. I was sitting
ain't
there
ain't no
like,
more routes.
I was just like,
because
this
the building
whole
started
time.
Shaking again, and I think that was probably from saving Jeff, because they said that the whole building mm-hmm. is relying on this thing right here to be in place.
Yeah.
And so I'm just, you know, happy. I'm not happy that he died. Let me not say that. It was a lot for me to even watch
that
whole thing.
It's okay.
You know, but he was very disrespectful. Very. He was very wrong. Like, I hate the men who try to, it's just like the Me Too movement, but I hate mm-hmm. the men who try to control women's careers mm-hmm. by, you know, sexual disrespect.
Yeah.
Like, You're not going to respect me enough as a woman to know that I can do my job mm-hmm. without me having to be in bed with you.
Exactly.
Or if I don't get in bed with you, you want to threaten my whole career? Like, who are you? Like, who gave you that power?
Exactly.
And I feel like he got what he deserved.
That is not okay. He did, because it's not okay. And it's like, I'm not giving you any signs that I am interested, so you just want to sit here and abuse your power like that? No, thank you, sir.
And we did not see the aftermath of her hanging from the building, but I just pray to God they saved her.
Yes, I believe they saved her.
Pray to God they saved her. Mm-hmm. So before we get into these predictions, let's talk about Hen. So after they saved Jeff, first of all, let me start with the family running out. Hen is automatically tuned into what the family is talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Mm-hmm.
Like the family is running around like, no, save my daughter. She's in there. Her name mm-hmm. is Kat. And so she automatically was like, okay, I need to remember. She's taking notes. I got to mm-hmm. remember it. The name is Kat. And so then we go into, they have this like little group up meeting, and Bobby is giving them ultimatums. He like, all right, y'all, I ain't going to force y'all to go up in mm-hmm. there because the building can collapse at any given moment. But, you know, what is what y'all want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Hen was the one to step up and say like, no, if my child is in there, I would want somebody to save my child. So mm-hmm. let's go in there. So they go in there, they save Jeff. We talked about that. And in the midst of saving Jeff, pulling him out, she finds a shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And automatically she thinks about Kat and starts screaming Kat's name. And then we have this whole thing of them trying to find Kat and stuff start happening. And now she's falling down.
Yeah. And then stories she kind of fell in the hole.
The building. She's Hended. Falling down a long hole. And I was just sitting there like, no, hit, no.
Please save her next week. Like, please. Before we get into predictions, real quick, just like, because I said Athena is a Greek goddess. So she is the goddess of wisdom and war.
Oh, so that is perfect. Look at that. And we were just talking about how much wisdom she had and how she was willing to have all this strength. Yes, and
right?
Come on, Athena. They did good naming her that. Right?
Come on, writers.
So I just... First of all, I want to give a shout out to Hen. If y'all can't tell, I love this show, 911. I am wearing the shirt. If you can't tell, I really love this show. But not only that, I really love Hen's character because watching the show last season is the reason I got these glasses.
They are cute.
I got these glasses because of Henrietta. Mm-hmm. Like her watching him. And then I went on Aisha's Instagram. Like, where'd she get these from? They were worn by Parker. Granted, I don't have worn by Parker on, but I do have
similar.
Something similar. Yeah. It's still up there in price though. But so I got these glasses just because of her. And I'm like, I got to get clear round frames just like she had them because I love them so much. And I have been needing glasses since I was young, but never got them. This is like, I literally just got these in March.
What?
And I was so, and I've been needing since I was 13. I'm 24 now. So, but when I seen her, I was inspired. Like, hold on, glasses can look that. Cause you know, when you a kid, you don't want to see that.
Yeah, everyone's like, glasses.
I'm like, if glasses can look that cute, let me get them. And she was my whole inspiration for that. So to see her fall through a hole. Tonight.
Yeah.
I was like, no!
Well, let's...
Let's get into these predictions.
Whew. So.
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
Before you give your predictions, can I just ask you, do you think Hen is going to be saved?
I think, and I hope she's going to be saved. I do think it is going to take the whole episode. Mm. She'll be saved like by the end, but it's going to take the whole episode for it. I think that's my prediction. It's like they're going to drag it out, but in the end, they are going to save her.
They got to save. They can't take her off. I love her.
They have to save her. And I predict we will see more of Eddie and his son next episode, because as we see clearly, we're still going to be going through the things in the aftermath of this earthquake. So I think they're going to show us Eddie going to the school, finally having a break, or maybe even Buck doing one of those moments like, okay, we can get away real quick. And Buck takes him to the school to go see his kid.
That would be so cute.
Right.
So my prediction is they're going to save her because they have to. And then I also predict that, you know, Athena and Bobby, their relationship is going to be just so beautiful. I don't know Buck's sister's name. I didn't catch her name.
Maddie.
Mm-hmm. But I know she was real concerned about him. And I believe that all of her fear is going to be gone away. And she's going to know that her brother is a real hero.
Yes.
I am just in awe of how they even put all that together and make it work, because we're all just sitting at the edge of our seats with our adrenaline rushing, like, what's going to happen next? So I already said I do think they're going to save the girl that was falling out the window, but to even know that they have a continuation of this episode is a lot for me.
So much.
So that means y'all have to stay tuned for our next episode. We're going to be coming with you next week with some amazing segments and with our other panelists who's going to be joining us. But until then, I'm your host, Portia Carter, signing off. You can find me on all social media at Portia Carter.
And I'm Elle Marie. You guys can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Elle Marie TV.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Oh, everyone do that again.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.